Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yep, Reaction Monday as the Texans got a 23-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans, finishing out the regular season 10-7. But, I mean, the victories that matter, the Chargers got their victory on Sunday to make it so that they will be the ones making the trek to Houston to face off against your Texans at NRG Stadium on Saturday at 3:30, of course. Of course, it had to be that time. That was the honorary Texans slot.
Everyone.
When they're in the playoffs.
We've kind of laughed at it a little bit and referenced it, but we haven't really pointed out. Literally every Texans' first playoff game, every time they've been on.
They should lean into it, man.
2011, 2012, 2015, 2016, 2018, 2019, 2023, and now the 2024 season.
They should lean into it, man.
The Texans window.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam Spillane putting that together. Saturday, 3:30. So that is the time. It'll be on CBS. It'll be on Nickelodeon if for some reason that is your get down. But it'll again be against the Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert, J.K. Dobbins, Ladd McConkey, Khalil Mack, so on and so forth. Are you cool with this? Did you like the matchup that you're getting here? I think for me personally, looking at this, I think I was starting to become okay, and it probably helped watching that Bengals and Steelers game, and seeing of what the Steelers have been of late, which has been, you know, lackluster offensively. They have not been able to get as much going. It's a very deep shot dependent scheme offensively, and that had not been all that good. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I could deal with that, right? However, that's not the team you're getting. You're going to get the Los Angeles Chargers, who D'Amico Ryans, in his availability earlier today, described as a well-coached, sound football team. And he had a lot more descriptions, but every single one, I was just nodding my head like, Like, this is a very level team. I don't think that they are incredible at anything, but they're solid at a lot of things and pretty much across the board. And that's going to be an interesting challenge.
Well, for me, it became, I'd rather face the Steelers because they were on their way to losing four in a row.
Yeah.
And that ain't great. I don't care who you are. You know, ask D'Amico Ryans about that. You know, he had just had that pitiful performance, a tough loss against the Chiefs and then a pitiful performance against the Ravens. And he's like, we got to get this taste out of our mouths collectively. And they did. I would have rather faced the Steelers just because of their struggle. But I think there's another reason. The Chargers are a tough get, you know, because your two strengths are rushing the quarterback and at the end position. Well, that's their strength as an offensive line, is their tackles. That's tough. That's tough. You want Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson to disrupt the game and make some things happen for your defense, because this is a defense that kind of carries the freight, you know, for the squad. So that's not a good matchup. Plus, I just feel like Jim Harbaugh hadn't gotten enough credit for. I mean, he gets a lot of credit.
Wow, I didn't. What a hot take.
No. Yeah.
You know who hasn't gotten enough credit? Jim Harbaugh.
No.
The man who last being at NRG Stadium won a national championship for Michigan. Yes. Not enough credit for that guy.
He's no stranger to some championship games, too.
No, he gets a lot of credit. What I'm talking about is the turnaround. They won 5 games.
And a lot of this is with the same guys.
Yes.
A lot of this is with the same guys. A team that did not seem, that had a lot of dudes that felt they were overpaid and were not necessarily playing up to standard. He cobbled out a tough, like the word tough that you use.
Yeah.
That is a tough team. Like, it's not too dissimilar than like the way, the physicality that, you know, D'Amico Ryans imparts in this team as well. Like, they play with that. They just, you know, they play physical. They play disciplined, which I think is an interesting thing to drop up there, especially because of, I think, the juxtaposition that poses with this Texans team, where it feels like at times it can be an undisciplined squad, whether it's penalties or sometimes. I was talking about this with you, and I don't even know if we were talking about this on air. There's a lot of missed tackles with this team. And D'Amico Ryans talks about it, and it feels like as you're watching them, that's not quite how it feels. But you look at the numbers, and there is a lot of missed tackles by this team. And so a team that is so disciplined, that does, you know, that kind of just does their job, that hits their marks. And when I talk about discipline, it's funny that I started with missed tackles when I could just talk about, hey, Laremy Tunsil picked up a couple of false starts again, right? Those types of things, or sustaining blocks or what have you, right? There's places where you can point to a lack of discipline with this Texas team. That's going to be tested in this wild card round. Like, we'll see how much that final game of the season impacts this Texas team and how much the messaging that D'Amico Ryans has of like, hey, do your job, you're here, do the best of your ability, go out there and play your best ball lands.
Yeah. To me, the thing with the Chargers, we all figured that Jim Harbaugh would turn it around over there. But to go from 5 games to this, a squad that is favored on the road, 11 wins on the road against Texans, you're favored, and you have the matchups. It's like a basketball thing. The matchups of not just their edge rushers against your tackles, but their tackles against your edge rushers, you know?
Yeah, Rashawn Slater and all are very good. Yeah. But, I mean, if they are able to slow down, there's not a way they can neutralize Will Anderson Jr. and Daniel Hunter. I refuse to believe that. These dudes have been playing incredible this year, as in part evidenced by the Pro Bowl selection that Daniel Hunter is going to pick up. And then, they're both alternates, right?
But they're both the first and second alternate. They'll probably be there unless they're in the Super Bowl.
That is fair.
Yeah.
That is a part that I did not necessarily vocalize in a way that I should have. I appreciate you picking me up there. But no, those guys have been incredible. I don't think that there's going to be full neutralization. But if you're not able to get back there and bother Justin Herbert, he has played in an incredible way, especially not turning the football over.
Yeah.
And being a turnover defense has been, when this team is playing their best, their defense is giving extra possessions to the offense. Like, what does that do? The run game has been steady. Like, I was looking at, of course, I was looking at success rate and EPA, you know me, and just across the board, 16th, 15th, maybe as low as 20th on a lot of things, but they're just kind of always in that general place, offense and defensively, when it comes to throwing the football, the EPA, and success rate on these things. They're just kind of steady as a team, like a fairly average, but, you know, getting the job done discipline-wise type of team. And then you add the particular names that you can point to that can make splash plays, like Bosa, like Mac on offense. Ladd McConkey has been very good at those types of things. The connection that he has with Justin Herbert. Plus, as much as he be dropping the football, Quentin Johnston as a deep throw over the top is an interesting thing as well. Like, I think this is going to be quite an interesting challenge. I don't think that is insurmountable for this Texas team, but it depends on which Texans team we get, which I guess has been kind of the thing over a long stretch of time for these Texans.
Oh, I don't by any stretch think it's insurmountable. What I'm saying is Jim Harbaugh wanted this matchup for a reason, because it's a team that the Texans that have been inconsistent. It's a team that he matches up well, as we just mentioned. And I also feel like the Chargers right now are on a bit of a roll against the team in Houston that, you know, outside of what D'Amico Ryans is saying, and credit to him, he's like, let's erase everything. He said multiple times.
Last year was last year. Fresh start.
Live in the moment. Focus, laser focus on what matters right now. Nothing else matters. It's how you're playing right now. So D'Amico Ryans is saying, forget everything that's happened and everything that we think about this team. It's a fresh start. But I think I think Jim Harbaugh wanted the Texans badly for a reason, because he knows the matchups are good for him, and he knows that the Texans have some questions that they just haven't answered.
D'Amico Ryans earlier was talking to the media. One of the things he talked about was like Dameon Pierce. And Dameon Pierce was fantastic in this game. I think the offensive line helped in a good way, but it does feel like there's a level of progress in him toting the rock. He did say, though, that Dameon Pierce created his own lane there, and I feel like I take issue with that. Am I wrong here in taking issue with that assessment of the 92-yard touchdown, even though he did a good job of finding the gap there? I feel like that was. I feel like we're taking a little bit of credit from the offensive line and giving it to Dameon Pierce there.
I feel like you're not wrong on the big run, the 92-yarder, but keep in mind, he got damn near 80 yards on his other carries.
He did.
You know, and that's one of the reasons I always, you know, talk about, you know, when people say, well, if not for the 92-yarder, no, that counts. But the second thing is, what did he do on the other runs? He might have created some lanes. He did create some lanes on some of those carries.
Yeah, at one point, and I'll be completely honest, I could pull the curtain back. Mm-hmm. I was trying to watch this game till its completion to try and like watch the offensive line and see some of the other defenders, like especially Miles Bryant in the slot. I wanted to see as much as the nickel. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see as much of that as I possibly could to see, you know, what options D'Amico Ryans would have in the playoffs, or what they would go to, especially without Jalen Petrie or Jimmy Ward to play those positions. I know Kamari Lassiter slid in sometimes, but, you know, it's clear and evident that they want to keep him on that side if possible. And I'm not going to lie, I fell asleep. So I did not see the fullness of this.
Now, that is understandable considering yesterday's game.
I felt bad about it. I want to make it abundantly clear that I did feel bad about it. But, I mean, for a good strong period of time, he was averaging like 8 yards a carry outside of the big play. Like, there was a solid run effort by him.
And so, he did create some lanes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You know, here and there. You know, so I don't think that's totally unfair.
Which, I mean, good for him to be playing his best football at this time. I don't know what that's actually going to bring.
What's it
going
to mean?
I feel like Joe Mixon
over
is going to get all of the snaps.
Over under 3.5 carries.
I would take the under, to be completely
Figgy,
honest.
3.5 carries. After busting for 170-something yards yesterday.
Under.
Me too. Me too.
But it's crazy. Nice to know that he's playing a better brand.
I don't think they just looked at that game like, ooh, you know what? Let's switch it up in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's on now.
And a couple of people pointing out, and again, I want to make sure to salute Dameon Pierce and de facto who hooped in this moment. Dameon Pierce did a way better job of being patient. Mm-hmm. Is a text that came in, looked great, was patient, waited for blocks to break. And that was one of the things that has been the major growing point for him, is making sure that happens. So salute to him. Salute to Derek Barnett. Obviously, picking another scoop and score for him, which he picked that up. And there was a point in time where I was like, okay, he should not get in, but he's going to get in. It was very evident that he was carrying dudes into the end zone.
He was going, and he probably got some help from a Titans player as well.
Yeah, get in.
Go ahead and get in there.
That was more the Dameon Pierce big run. Yeah. They were hanging on. He dragged a dude into the end zone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Which, real quick on that, obviously immediately went like big man touchdown. Do defensive ends count in big man touchdown?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because like the idea
it depends, man.
Yeah, because like a lot of these defensive ends.
Because I don't look, I mean, Will Anderson is a big guy, don't get me wrong.
But an athlete.
But this ain't Vince Wilford.
Athlete.
Type of touchdown.
It's not in the job description, though, man.
It is, but they end up being.
I think about the fat fat defensive lineman.
Sweat.
With all due respect. We want to make sure that, you know. I appreciate the athleticism that they bring, but it is kind of the juxtaposition of, oh, he's not necessarily supposed to do that, and look at him go. Like, I think that's
usually still 300, though, man.
Yeah, he's a big one.
Yeah. He's still 300.
I would count him as a big man. Yes. Though, as the big man touchdown.
Absolutely.
And, yes, the flip at the end zone was indeed great. Because, again, he would not be denied. He was just like, look, man, I'm getting there. Yeah. It was very evident that he wanted it, and he got it, and I was very happy for him. From the 832 question, have the Chargers beat anybody good? And look, that's a fair question. Let's see, victories for them. Raiders, no. Panthers, no. Broncos, early on in the season. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Anything there? Feelings?
Decent.
I mean, the Falcons.
Not the same Broncos as now, though.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
Decent.
I mean, the other wins, they beat the Browns, they beat the Titans, beat the Bengals, but that was
the early Bengals.
That was middle of the season Bengals before they hit that run where they needed to win out. I mean, that's a fair question. Now, they have beaten up some of these teams that they're supposed to in a way that they're supposed to. Actually, they beat the Browns again later in the season, too. So, that's probably the one that you hang your hat on there. I think the natural, you know, moving connection point from that question is, how good of a team do you believe the Texans to be? And that really depends on how they're playing in the moment. I think one thing in Week 18 that I think pushes you towards, yes, a good team, was seeing C.J. Stroud be a little bit more comfortable. And one of the things D'Amico said in his availability that I underlined was he was asked about how have you seen C.J. evolved, and he started immediately by talking about C.J. being authentic,
mm-hmm.
being himself, and then he got to talking about understanding that it's not all on him.
Look, I get all that and respect all that. If I'm going to take anything out of yesterday's game, and you and I were talking about this off air, that was a punch that back foot and throw kind of game for him.
Yes.
And he hasn't done that in a long time. It's drop back, boom, boom. And I say game. It was one series, but we hadn't seen that in maybe months.
Right.
Maybe months.
And I think that for me, that falls in line with the idea of understanding it's not all on him, because it feels like he got into a place where he felt like there was hero ball was necessary, and I've got to make sure I find the perfect pass, mm-hmm. and I've got to hold the football and all these things. Whereas there's a level of trust in your receivers, mm-hmm. in your line, in your play caller, which again, I can understand why people would look at it and say, hey, there's some places where you should have a healthy level of distrust in some of those parties. But having that trust in them so that you can depend on those other things to help you pitch, just do what you do. Hit your mark, throw the ball to those guys, and it panned out well, right? You had that 6-for-6, and it looked smooth, and they were moving the ball quickly. And I think that changed, right? The difference in CJ has really been a clear difference in the capabilities of this offense this year. And so having CJ look a little bit closer, look a lot closer, if we're going to be completely honest, to the CJ that's comfortable, that's hitting the ball on his marks, right? All those things. I think that also gives me a good feeling, because again, if you get the Texas team that played against the Chiefs, you probably feel a lot better about this game. And I think that this CJ was a lot closer to the CJ that has played better this year.
It did look, and again, one series, but given that they've had this offensive line together now, you know, for a couple of weeks, it did look like a quarterback that was a little more confident behind that line. You know, whether it was one series or whatever, he looked a little more comfortable behind that offensive line. For what it's worth, that might change in one series on Saturday afternoon.
That was the Titans, man.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the only part that got me. I agree with you, but if you look over across the field, it was the Titans, man.
Yep. You are not wrong.
That was a dead body over there.
Yeah, but a level of confidence in there, I don't think you can underscore. And a text that comes in from the 281, if the Charger strengths are going up against the Texas strengths, as we were talking about, then the Texas strengths are also going up against the Chargers strengths. Why is that necessarily a disadvantage or an advantage for the Chargers? To help me understand the logic.
Oh, because I would rather face have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter with two tackles that aren't a strength. I mean, it's very simple.
Right. It was not inherently just the matchup. It was the comparison to you had faced off.
They're good, too.
Faced off against the Steelers. The and I think when you're talking about, and of course, look, this is a moot point. You're facing off against the Chargers Saturday at 3:30.
Yeah, no matter what.
If you had had, you could have, choose the alternate universe where the matchup for the wild card round this weekend, I imagine still Saturday at 3:30, would be against the the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah,
you want to, especially if for no other reason that you have Russell Wilson there doing
all that too.
The mobility is not the same as what Justin Herbert brings a lot of mobility, right? Yeah. The offense is a little bit more built on explosives. It's built on deep passing, and those are opportunities for Kalen Bullock to come and snatch the ball out of air or what have you. What was that?
Are we sure it's Bullock?
I was certain of that. Just comparatively. But again, the Chargers possess, they pose some challenges, but I don't think that's insurmountable. As of right now, Vegas sees them as the favorites in this one. It's open at 3, I think 2.5 is what I saw most recently. Somewhere around that half a point, I think we all understand where that exists. But you typically, as a home team, you get a little bit of deference. Yeah. So
I was going to say, that's the other good thing, too. Quarterbacks not named Lamar Jackson don't play good at NRG Stadium.
That's so true.
That's another thing you could kind of hang your hat on.
And Will Levis.
I just
in the in the spirit of accuracy, I'm sorry. I didn't want to have to say it, but I just
he did.
I forgot about that.
He'll always have that.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, because he didn't get a victory this weekend. I'll tell you that for damn sure.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a good one. Coming up next, this is about the time where we hand it off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape instead of doing it ourselves. Fig, what you got for us?
Yeah, man. So today's date is January 6, 2025, and we already got drama going on in the new year.
Oh, drama.
Drama.
We do it next.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Interlude Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday. Happy 2025. Happy New Year. Happy belated Merry Christmas, whatever you say that, man. It's been a minute since I did this very segment. Mm-hmm. But I want to give a shout out, man. I found this kind of interesting, man. I want to give a shout out to the baby boomers. Are you a baby boomer?
I'm a boomer. I'm at the very end.
All right. Yeah. Shout out to Gen X. We got some Gen X people probably walking around this hallway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the millennials. Are you a millennial?
Hey, we out here.
Yeah, what's happening? Hey, gang, gang. Yeah. Shout out to Gen Z. Shout out to
Gen Alpha.
Yeah. And 2025 presents Gen Beta.
Oh, people are going to have a field day. Or people have already had a field day.
I don't know how I feel about that name, to be honest, mm-hmm. man.
I mean,
don't call me Gen Beta.
It's very evident what we're doing here. We just went from Z to A, B. We rolling down alphabets, man. Like, eventually we're going to get to it.
And we're going to be calling these little babies Beta.
How did it go? X, Millennial, Z.
Well, Millennials were Gen Y, but yeah. It's just, or we, Gen Y, but then they just came up with an actual name for it.
Yeah, but
salute to everybody, man. Mm-hmm. Happy 2025. So a little drama going on, man. I wouldn't call this drama, but
drama.
It kind of got around on the timeline a little bit, man. So Jalen Green of the Houston Rockets, his lady.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the game over the weekend with her son.
Was that nice?
So I think that might have been a week ago, to be completely honest. I was trying to figure out what it was, and I saw the video, and I thought I saw the Timberwolves in there, and I was like, they played it last Friday. But, you know,
it might have been. Yeah,
it's never too late to be messy. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think it's still circulating around.
Of course,
to be honest, because a lot of people catching on to it. But Drea Michelle was at the game watching her boo thing. Mm-hmm. Play some basketball, kind of court, I think behind the basket. It was floor seat,
yeah,
with her son. And here's the tweet that described that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It said, Drea Michelle, 39, took her son, is it Nico?
Nico,
who is 22.
Look at you knowing the stuff.
22 years old, to see his stepdad, Jalen Green, 22.
Oh, man.
Play courtside at his game.
Ain't no way that man calls Jalen Green his stepdaddy.
Man,
You're not my real dad.
There's no way in hell. I can't believe that happened.
I feel like once you become an adult, and maybe this is wrong, like if your mother remarries or whatever, like that's just your mom's husband or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's your stepdaddy. I feel like mm-hmm. that's not how that works.
Yeah,
he calls him Jalen.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that was a messy tweet.
22-year-old son going to watch the 22-year-old boyfriend, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, baby daddy.
There you go, baby daddy.
That's his, yeah.
Yeah.
So they got the, it's so
that's
weird.
That's messy, man. And awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're comfortable with it, that's their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, what was messy awkward was like everybody like, hey, see this? 22, huh?
Yeah. Now, it's funny because I want to say it was like a week before this happened. Drea Michelle had some things to say because she saw somebody else dating somebody with a gap like this.
That's so, the drama.
Houses.
So, Mariah Carey, who is 55 years old, mm-hmm. looks damn good to be 55 years old. She's reportedly dating an artist by the name of Anderson .Paak,
yeah.
who is 38 years old. And this is what Drea Michelle had to say. She ended up leaving the comments under Shade Room or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, that's a 17-year age gap. Smile. Go Mimi with y'all selective asses. And the little heart emojis.
Well, she's kind of criticizing her own critics.
I don't think she was. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that was criticism in that instance,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
She's like, okay, how come y'all aren't going after Mariah?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit different, though, man. Mm-hmm. It might be around the same fruit, but these ain't no apples. These are oranges to apples, man.
Man, whatever, man. Y'all got it. All I know is I can make the rules for myself or the prefaces for myself. And outside of that,
Mariah doesn't have a 38-year-old son.
That's the thing. That's what people. That's what people was kind of saying.
Yeah,
because it sounded a little weird. Like you could date whoever you want, as long as they're legal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit weird when you got a son the same age as your baby father.
Yeah.
So salute to everybody. As long as everybody happy, man. Happy 2025.
I mean, as long as that fatherhood is helping Jalen Green put these buckets in.
Yeah, this is true.
That's my personal investment.
This is like, true.
Hey, that number four right there is paying is money right there. You better respect him as a father.
That's right.
Some more drama going on the timeline or in real life, to be honest.
I'm sorry, that just made me think of Jalen Green coming and being like, did you take out the trash? Sorry.
Hey, boy, move my shoes over.
Tossing in the keys. Here, you can take my car tonight.
You want some breakfast?
That's right. Nah.
But some more drama.
Oh, man.
Right, and the channel baby boy a little bit. Salute to Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames, baby.
More drama on the line. Skip Bayless starting off 2025 strong with some allegations. So Skip and Fox are being sued for sexual harassment by a hairdresser. And in that same lawsuit, you got Joy Taylor being accused of, I guess, being a little too friendly and having a couple different relationships.
That's one way to put it.
At the gig, right. Yeah. I was like, I don't know how you would describe her relationship with Emmanuel Acho. They ended up on the same show at that point. And I guess it was kind of, Acho was the center of it. So would he be considered her boss in that instance? But there was another instance where she was clearly, allegedly, having a relationship with a boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, with a vice president.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on there. Skip Bayless allegedly offered $1.5 million.
That blew me away, but go ahead and finish.
Yeah,
the number or
yes,
yeah, $1.5 million.
He knows who he is.
Yeah, but what? 1.5?
Like I said, he knows who he is.
I don't know, man.
You make offers. You make offers. I don't know if he was trying to make an offer she couldn't refuse, or
did
if he was
start
like
lower.
Man.
I would have said, you know, hey, how about 250? You know.
Yeah, I feel like he knows who he is. Yeah. He was like, look, man, it's evident that you need some persuasion.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and really persuade you in this instance. But woof, nasty workplace type situation.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. But somebody that used to work there go by the name of Jason Whitlock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wonder what's he up to? I think he's doing his own thing right now on the independent level. But he has some things to say about Joy Taylor. And he had to stay away from he made sure he stayed away from Joy Taylor.
I know what I'm capable of. And that big rack of hers that she showed off constantly. It's just, and that peanut butter skin with that big rack. Like, Jay, keep your distance.
He had to keep his distance from her, man.
He would call it peanut butter skin, wouldn't he?
So what is he saying? He's saying that
he's saying that he wouldn't have been able to control himself. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, he said, see, I knew what to do to stay out of all the ad drama. I had to stay away from her.
I do love that there is a level of like self, I don't know what the right word is, importance. That's probably not.
Oh, for sure. But, conceit.
Where he got to the place where he was like, look, man, if I spend enough time around her, that was absolutely going to go down.
Yeah, I could have. You
think he had that much power or appeal? That was absolutely going to happen. Like, if you did not keep your distance, you were just going to trip.
That girl would have had it coming.
You was going to trip and fall into something, huh?
Yeah, okay, exactly.
All right. All right,
lucky
Mr. Whitlock.
I wasn't around. I had to stay away from her.
Yeah.
Girl, you know what I do to you? That's pretty much what he said.
I mean, he'd be wearing a hat that makes you think that he talks like that, doesn't it? Doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Somebody else who is in some drama in 2025, and this one kind of started last month. So one, Joe Budden, who's used to rap. He's now a podcaster in the media game right now. So a few weeks ago, Joe Budden was not on his podcast, and this was like unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
This was unannounced. People was wondering where the hell is he at? And I want to say he missed like two or three episodes, which is very uncommon for Joe. And so when he came back, he kind of hinted why he was out the last few weeks. And then I'm gonna get to what actually happened, why he missed some of that time.
I just sleptwalked somewhere that I shouldn't have sleptwalked.
What?
That's what happened.
For real?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And you know how I sleep.
Yeah. Oh, butt ass. Oh my God.
Butt ass. Nice naked ass. Good naked sleepwalking.
What is happening right now?
I just did it again. Oh, did it again.
Yeah.
Oh, did it again.
I was swinging, right?
Nah.
What kind of question is that?
Nobody can go through this stuff but me. It's only me.
So in that clip, he was hinting that he pretty much sleptwalked in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And I want to say a week or two later,
mm-hmm.
this press release came out from Edgewater Police Department.
Oh, no.
On December 4, 2024, at approximately 7:21 a.m., the Edgewater Police were dispatched to an apartment complex for the report of a resident that a man was standing outside of their apartment door completely naked. The caller recognized this man as neighbor Joseph Button Jr.,
oh boy,
a 44-year-old male.
Well, I can tell you that is a brilliant excuse.
Oh, you're not buying it?
No, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it, but like that is about as quality an excuse for roaming around your apartment complex naked as you could possibly get. I sleep nude and I sleepwalk. Oh, okay.
By the way, sleepwalking is deeply dangerous.
I did it when I was a kid, and then I grew out of it, I guess. I don't know what happened.
Now, he did, because I used to listen to the podcast a lot, and he did mention how he did have sleepwalking issues.
Oh, it's brilliant.
But
you think he was just sowing the seeds for eventual...
Well, no, I don't think he was sowing the seeds, but I think it's a perfect excuse.
Like deeply distrustful of Joe Budden in particular. You're like, nah, he's just been sowing the seeds so he could become... A debaucherous human being.
Now, people sleepwalk differently, but when I sleptwalk, I grew out of it when I was about 12, 13 years old, but when I was a kid, I sleptwalk. I remember you always wake up after you walk around, you know, for about just a couple of minutes.
Maybe. I mean, different people have different degrees.
For me. Yeah.
Of,
Yeah. So, and also in this release, they said the report, they showed the video of him attempting to enter a code into that door keypad several times before he went back across the hall to his apartment. So he actually tried to get into this apartment.
To another person's apartment.
Butt ass.
As he said.
Like to say.
That's got
to
be terrifying, though. Like, if you actually are sleepwalking.
Yeah.
That's a problem right there.
Yeah, no, of course.
You gotta get some like professional help.
Yeah,
like I never sleptwalk or anything like that. The only thing I did, I remember getting up throughout the night, like taking the shirt off because I got, and I'm like, I don't remember getting up or talking in my sleep or something like that.
Plus, all the times that I did it, it wasn't a lot, but I did it. I don't think I think maybe once I actually tried to go outside, but I never went outside. Like, what you would think, like you go outside. That kind of would wake you up, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when that cold air hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I guess you did say it was Florida.
I don't think.
Edgewater, Florida,
What's this Edgewater, Florida? No, I think it's in New Jersey, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Because the other thing, this could be more of a conspiracy because I think he said something else differently on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But allegedly, that place is where he records his podcast at the time.
Okay.
And he's not recording there anymore. So people was assuming that maybe it's a case going on where he can't be back in the apartment complex at all.
Yeah.
I think he said something different where they said the apartment complex didn't want him recording there.
Gotcha.
So it's a lot of conspiracy, a lot of drama going on with that, but he got to get that together, man. Yeah, that's some nasty work right there, man.
Or at least, you know, get you some pajamas until we can get this under wraps.
Well, that's true.
Put some clothes
if
on.
You know,
man.
If you know you're prone to sleepwalk, get some pajamas.
I would be scared
on.
To sleep totally naked like that, too, because, like, what if a fire? I always think about the crazy stuff. What if a fire break out?
Yeah.
I got to be ready to.
You'll be alive. Bulk. You'll be alive. And you'll deal with the rest of it later.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not somebody who is a sleep naked type of person, but I appreciate and understand people's ability to do so. I just couldn't. I'm with you.
I just be worried. What if a fire break out? Something happen, or
what if somebody breaks into your house?
Yeah, you'll be butt ass.
Yeah,
butt ass. I guess. All right. Very good. I didn't realize that multiple people this weekend landed on their neck like
how about Davis Mills?
Like Davis Mills. Ooh, I was like, man, his neck is way too long to be doing that. He almost snapped in two. Mm-hmm. But thankfully he didn't. He was throwing that thing. He was throwing that ball around the yard in a way that was very comfortable, in a way that made me wonder if people were going to do the thing where they start clamoring for Davis Mills to play.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
But good for him. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're getting ready to hand it off to our fellows from the Drive, Clint Ron. But I do want to talk more about this offensive line. You got a different five than we've gotten all year. How did you like it? We'll talk about that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, it's been a fun victory Monday after a Texans 23-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans to complete the regular season schedule. 10-7 is ultimately where they find themselves, and going up against the Los Angeles Chargers on Saturday at 3:30. At NRG is what the wild card situation, wild card round holds in store for your Houston Texans. As they head towards that, in the Titans game, we saw a new five on the offensive line. Obviously, you had Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, who had his name called a couple of times, unfortunately. But mm-hmm. you tied Titus Howard, Jarrett Patterson, Juice Scruggs at right guard, and of course, Blake Fisher at right tackle. I'm interested, like, how did you view this five? Because at least on my first drive, they executed very well. And then after that, of course, you can point to the idea that, okay, man, it's the Titans. But this was a Titans defensive line that gave this offensive line trouble not more than, what, 6 weeks ago? Was that week 12?
And especially on the interior.
Yeah.
Just destroying Kenyon Green, and then I guess Juice was in there at center at that point, wasn't he? But the interior offensive line got killed. So, yeah, but you know what? I can't get what Figgy just said a little while ago out of my head. It's still the Titans. You know, that this is what you should have done in the first meeting, and it got it backfired on you. So I'm actually kind of optimistic about this offensive line, but I do have to just sort of keep in the back of my head, you know, that was a squad that was completely checked out already, you know?
Okay, so yeah. you're not giving them any
cautiously,
credit, huh?
No, I, like I just said, I mean, I'm actually kind of optimistic about this offensive line. I just don't know how much so, you know, given the circumstance.
I do feel like this is probably the best offensive line right now. Like, to me, mm-hmm. this is the best we're going to get right here. And I do think they have a chance against the Chargers. I just don't want to look at the Titans game as saying, right. yep, right. That's it.
No, I mean, I feel you. I think, again, the offensive line is it's a group of five that feels like it's a weakest link proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we've looked at it all season. We saw that Shaq Mason's been kind of tough there. Now, it'll be interesting to see what his injury status is this week, because, I mean, if he is healthy, they probably throw him right back in there, don't they?
They do, don't they? I guess they do. Yeah.
I mean, even though I thought that this five played pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like, Shaq Mason has a level of respect as veteran and everything. I think he'd probably go back in there. I do wonder, like,
no Juice?
Or do you think that they would just get to a place where they're like, hey, this is the five that we're comfortable with that we just played with. Let's keep rolling that ball.
I don't see Shaq losing his job. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it felt like,
I mean, he played great, but I don't think he played bad enough where you got to sit him down.
Maybe they do the old Deshaun Watson. Hey, you had a setback. So to speak, which I'm sure we'll get to that again. You may not know this, but you've had a setback.
Yeah.
I have.
That's right.
I felt like they did a good job. If nothing, evidenced by the fact that Dameon Pierce had a good running game, mm-hmm. and he was patient, but they were actually getting some of those blocks. And I wonder if just the focus on sustaining blocks, right, which seems like it should be a no brainer and something that offensive line should do regardless. But I mean, we know we watched this offensive line for the Texans; they had not been doing that consistently. Mm-hmm. Felt like they did that better, and of course, you get a better feel of that watching the game back a little bit more, but it felt like they did a better job of that. And I don't know, that was an encouraging part, in addition to, again, one singular drive with CJ up there. But even Davis seemed to have a pretty solid day.
He did.
Being able to get the ball out with that minimal amount of pressure.
And the one thing about pass protection,
yeah,
is the other guys, even if they're checked out or not, those guys want to get their sacks. You know, they want to get that pressure on a quarterback. So that was encouraging. It's so cautiously optimistic about this. not just because of that, but they were checked out. The run game, it's hard to say.
Four total pressures on Davis Mills, one pressure on CJ. One sack on Davis, yeah.
Yeah, so that was okay. You know, because those guys, whether you're checked out or not, you want to get your sacks. Sacks matter, you know. And so that was a good sign. The run game, I think it's kind of hard to tell, even though that 92-yarder, that busted wide open. I mean, he just really needed to jab to the right, and then it was off to the races.
Yeah.
So that's credit to the line.
Getting up to the second level, but also, mm-hmm. again, sustaining those blocks, not to continue to lean on that word, but it was clearly a teaching point, something that they harped on. And
D'Amico talked about it today.
And they executed it, right? Yeah. Like, again, that execution word has come up, and it's been annoying to hear, but the actual idea that they went and did that, to whatever small degree that you want to say, I think that matters, and that gives me a little bit more hope. Again, that word pops up, the hope for what they can do if they're putting all these things together. Because, again, we don't believe this to be a bad team by any means. They just haven't lived up to the potential. If you play to the maximum of your potential, you have an opportunity to do some fun things.
Yeah. This is going to be so interesting to watch. As we've talked about it just as recently as the last segment, they're going to bring some pressure, unlike what you saw from the Titans on the edges.
Yeah.
They being the Chargers.
Yeah. From the 832 on the text line, the face plant by Mills and CJ's sideline reaction. I did write that. He did say, holy bleep. He said, oh, bleep.
Yeah.
I think everybody said that. I said that in real time.
He bent backwards. You're not supposed to bend that way.
No. No, you aren't.
You are not.
Man, I was like, man, he did a whole bunch of flipping up there, man. But that I'm not going to lie, and maybe this should have been a confession. Just seeing that, I was like, see, that's why I have some questions about the quarterbacks that are like, well, mm-hmm. you slide forward, or you dive head first instead of sliding. I was like, oh, then you end up with your head all in the ground and your neck bent and everything.
And by the way, let's say he had to miss two or three plays. You bring C.J. Stroud back in?
I mean, that's you had to.
You got to.
You didn't have another quarterback
Dalton
active?
Dalton Schultz. Hand the ball off.
Wildcat?
Hand the ball off.
David Pierce Wildcat?
Yeah.
I actually would have liked that because they probably would have lost the game.
Just hand the ball off, man, or run. Yeah, like a Wildcat. Dalton Schultz. Maybe some sort of Wildcat. Because he was already cool. He had his beanie on. He was on the sidelines. The C.J. Stroud. Heck no, man. You stay right there. Keep that jacket on.
Real quick before we turn this over. This was, can I get a little bit of audio here? Did you grab this, Fig? This was Justin Herbert after they had gotten their victory versus the Raiders. This is him talking about the Steelers situation.
Did you get a chance to watch the end of the Steelers game yesterday?
No, I kind of followed along. I was meeting and watching film, but I heard it in the other room, so I could tell that, you know, good things were happening, I guess.
Good things were happening.
Obviously, those good things being the Steelers losing, which gave the Chargers an opportunity to hop up. Do you take that as disrespect?
No. I think that's it. I mean, everybody wanted to have their best matchups, right?
Yeah, because they
were the idea that in essence what they're saying then is that Texas is the best matchup. You take that as disrespect.
Because they would have played
what would you have done?
They would have played the Ravens, right?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I don't think he wants to see the Ravens.
You're like, that's less about the Texans, more about avoiding Lamar and them.
I mean, the Texans wanted to face the Steelers.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know, like, them as an organization.
Well, I think at this point they did.
If I was, I did not want to see the Ravens.
You can interpret it, and I'm sure players like to put, you know,
that's why, like, let me put some bulletin board material up for the boys, man. Come on now.
The players like to create these chips on their shoulders, but they'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They'd be doing absolutely the same thing, and were, by the way.
We welcome in Ron Hughley from The Drive. Clint joining us as well from The Drive. My man, how you living?
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad. NFL, God, dog, man. This thing went by, man.
It has moved, ain't it?
Like, I got my earphones ready.
Yeah.
It feels like it just happened. That first game against the Colts just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I felt like just seeing, whoa, man, is this what this new offensive line's going to be? You remember that? How long ago?
Oh, yeah.
This offensive line right here, boy.
Oof. Oh, they have a running game, baby.
They got a running game. Look at Kenyon. Yeah, okay. They didn't need no. They didn't need no insurance. They didn't need no competition. But man, that just don't seem like that was that long ago.
And
this day, we're in the playoffs. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We were just talking about this offensive line as well. Like, obviously, you talked about where it started. We went through all the struggles. Did y'all like this five? Did y'all like what you saw, at least for the first drive? I mean, they stayed in for a little bit before you got kind of Deculus coming in. Was that beneficial for you, Clint?
Hey, look, man. I mean, finding out Juice Scruggs can play all three middle O-line positions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a plus, even if you're just talking depth at some point in time in the near future. You know, the fact that you put him at right guard and then you run a 92-yard touchdown right up his tail end. They believe in him. They believe in what they'd seen. Obviously a very small sample size. It beats the hell out of the alternative.
Yeah.
I mean, that very well could have been a C.J. Stroud plays three or four drives and gets sacked three times and turns it over and you get the run game gets stifled again. Mm-hmm. And you know, it very well could have
gone
been
a lot worse.
Yeah,
it
could have been bad. It could have been negative, given what we've seen all year long. So the fact that there was as much positive as there was in that game early on, or really throughout, I mean, that's couldn't have gone much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Yeah, look at you in a given mood. Why not, huh? I mean, why not? They needed it. Yep. The city needed. Like, we were saying it leading up to it. We had about 11, 12 days to talk about it. They needed to change. Like, I couldn't get around with people, and we'll discuss if they played enough. I couldn't get around with people saying, no, don't get on the field. No. That it's something to take the 31-2 taste out of their out of everybody's mouth.
Yeah,
because that's the last thing we saw. Now you feel good. Now, hell, hey, Shaq Mason can play. Hey,
they feel good, but we started the show, and I came out thinking, is that it? We good? You forget the other 16 games?
I know, I feel better. I feel better, though. But, I mean, it's I don't know how much.
I go to 16, J-Lo. I go two.
Yeah. I go two.
Yeah. Look, if it were me, I would have liked to have seen a lot more out of those guys. I think they could have used it. Treating CJ and the rest of the company like they're defending champs and have done anything in the playoffs before at this point is a little bit. It's an interesting approach to me at this point after what we watched against Baltimore.
Damn.
I thought
he was trying to thread the needle. D'Amico was, and I probably would have hoped to see at least another drive. But what made it easier for me was seeing that 6 of 6, seeing CJ like really hitting the top of his drop and getting the ball out with the level of confidence, sure, dotting his guys up. And I was like, okay, this feels like you've maybe eliminated some of the stink that it felt like there was.
Oh, I think it's 6 pass attempts, 6 for 6, and a touchdown. I mean, you got as much out of one drive as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
As an offense, as C.J. Stroud, as everybody involved. Mm-hmm. You got multiple catches by a couple of different guys. You got your big weapon, the football. You converted in the red zone. You did some really good things in one drive. We've seen that. You know, we've seen this offense click for one drive. We've seen Bobby Slowick click for one drive.
True.
But I don't want to poop because I think there is serious value that was gained from just that's how bad it was.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. I mean,
there's some value that was gained with one drive. Yeah,
man, I'm excited to hear you guys. Yeah, we're headed there, baby.
6 for 6.
That's right. I'm excited to hear these fine fellas talk more about this. Anybody interested in doing the new Davis Mills yoga pose? Anybody?
No, not me. Okay. Not me. That long neck saved his life.
I am going to use my coping skills about Davis Mills and the leaps and jumps that we have taken here. I'm going to try my best to use it.
Ooh, look, that is a tease. We're out of the way.
I'm going to try my best to use it.
We're in the loop. In the loop's done for the day. You're listening to KLT, KLT, HD2 on Odyssey Sports Station. And right now on a Victory Monday, The Drive is live.